This is Radio Superior 1944, a reproduction of actual news events with authentic popular music from 1944. This is a true story of our past. Step back with us to another time. We'll bring you now into the KUWS radio studios and the Martin and McKenna Show.
This is the voice from the head of the Great Lakes, station KUWS. Jack McKenna reminding you to not be a dolt and be sure to vote. It's 6 p.m. Standard Wartime, Monday, November 6th, 1944. It's Election Eve.
Not be a dolt and be sure to vote? That doesn't sound like a government slogan to me.
I made that one up myself, my friend. Uncle Sam isn't the only creative mind at work here. Lou Martin is standing by with the 6 o'clock news. Rapid Ray is in with the sports, and we'll have a debate between the candidates for district attorney. Lou will moderate.
Without any distractions from a certain announcer.
I'm just so interested in these things, Lou, I can't help but throw out questions. The 6 o'clock news is brought to you by the Socialist Labor Party.
The Socialist Labor Party?
Which reminds you to repudiate the barbarous social system that exploits the mass of useful producers for the benefit of the capitalists. Good evening, Lou.
Repudiate the barbarous social system?
I just read them, Lou, you know. You know our crack advertising department. They'll sell time to anyone with 6 bits.
Good evening, Jack, and good listeners. The oratory has reached its end, and now the voters will decide. We begin our World Radio Roundup with J.W. Davis in Washington.
This is the nation's capital, J.W. Davis, Associated Press. Except for live radio address by President Roosevelt and Governor Dewey tonight, the speech-making that flood our nation every 4 years is over. For 17 hours over the various time zones of America, 44 million people are expected to cast their lot with Franklin D. Roosevelt for a fourth term, or have Governor Thomas Dewey take over the job. The great issue, who is the best man to speed victory and guide the peace? Election Eve found the vice presidential candidates at their homes. Republican Governor John Bricker is in Columbus, Ohio, and Democratic Senator Harry S. Truman at Independence, Missouri. The Republicans stand their best chance in 12 years to gain control of the closely divided House. Another factor will have to be weighed tomorrow. Almost 4 million servicemen overseas will vote, but their ballot may take up to 3 weeks to count. In Washington, this is J.W. Davis calling New York. Come in, Albany.
This is the capital of New York State, Jack Bell with the Dewey Camp. The governor will speak from the executive mansion to the nation tonight. He is expected to thank his supporters and urge everyone to get out and vote. He will say it's time to retire the tired and quarrelsome Roosevelt administration. That's the message he's been pounding away at in his cross-country campaign covering more than 22,000 miles. At Madison Square Garden Saturday night, he told 22,000 rafter-raising, paper-throwing partisans that American fighting men were paying in blood the prolonging of the war with Germany by the quoting here, "confused incompetence of President Roosevelt." Many of Governor Dewey's backers think the key to the president lies right here in his home state of New York and its 47 electoral votes. Also, neighboring Pennsylvania with its 35 electoral votes is crucial. In Albany, this is Jack Bell calling Hyde Park. Come in, Howard Flieger.
This is Hyde Park, New York. Howard Flieger here with the president. FDR drew the curtain on his fourth-term campaign today with a speaking tour among his neighbors in New York's picturesque Hudson Valley. Tomorrow, the chief executive will cast his own ballot at the Hyde Park Town Hall. That's where, in past elections, he has variously answered his occupational question by calling himself a farmer or a tree grower. He stressed a big vote in his closing address Saturday night at Boston's Fenway Park. Mr. Roosevelt would like to see a record 50 million people vote. He declared himself anxious to win because, quoting the president, "never before in my lifetime has a campaign been filled with such misrepresentation, distortion, and falsehood. Never has there been so many attempts to stimulate racial and religious intolerance," end quote. 4 years ago, the president's theme was assuring people that their boys would not be sent off to any foreign war. This time, FDR is asserting America was forced into this war by the Japanese sneak attack on Pearl Harbor and the subsequent declarations of war by Germany and Italy. Said Mr. Roosevelt, "any real Americans would have done what this government did, fight." In Hyde Park with the president, this is Howard Flieger calling Washington.
Washington here. Frederick C. Oathman reporting. This is a nervous town here today, and I don't like it. Too dangerous. Tomorrow night either begins the mass exodus of New Dealers, or the backslapping. I told you so. Congratulations for President Roosevelt and company. Heck, I nearly got socked in the nose today on the bus because a gent asked me if I heard an electioneering show on the radio. I said I heard it. He asked me if I liked it. I said I did. Well, sir, you could almost hear his eyes pop. He got so sore that his neck turned as purple as his language. I barely escaped with my life. That's the trouble. 300,000 federal clerks have nothing to do at the moment but worry about losing their jobs. Before tomorrow is over, I predict the boys and gals will be throwing dishes in the government cafeteria. Like I said, I don't like it. It's too dangerous. In Washington, this is Frederick C. Osman.
Three of the five national polls give a thin edge to President Roosevelt over Thomas Dewey. The Forum survey gives FDR 53% of the vote and Dewey 46%. The Crosley poll is 52-48% for Mr. Roosevelt, while Dr. George Gallup's poll of electoral votes gives Governor Dewey a slight lead. The Nazi 15th Army is said to have been half-destroyed in the two-week-old West Holland Offensive. British and Canadian armies drew up to the water barrier 16 miles south of Rotterdam on yet another new assault line. The Allies have captured 25,000 Germans and wounded or killed another 30,000 since the offensive began at Antwerp October the 22nd. This campaign has freed more than 500,000 Dutch people from Nazi tyranny. Meanwhile, the American Fifth Army has blunted a small-scale Nazi counterattack in Italy. Ground forces are bogged down by heavy rain, but have repulsed the attack just south of Bologna. On the Eastern Front, Marshal Stalin has declared that 30 German divisions are cut off from East Prussia near the Baltic. The Soviet leader says the Red Army is hammering the Nazis to smithereens. Stalin says the German army is on the verge of a catastrophe. One division counts about 10,000 soldiers. Meanwhile, American infantry continues to push their way inside Germany in the eastern Hürtgen Forest. American troops are battling for the German town of Vosnach. KUWS Radio News Time is 6:09. Jack McKenna has this word from our sponsor.
Okay, Lou. Here goes. Vote for the Socialist Labor Party candidates. Workers of America, repudiate the barbarous social system that exploits the mass of useful producers for the benefit of the few who merely own. Repudiate the political representatives of capitalism, be they Republican, Democrat, so-called socialist, or communist, or labor, who preach the criminal falsity that capitalism can be reformed, and that it is worth reforming. Unite with us to establish the Socialist Brotherhood of Man. Social Labor Party candidates for President Edward A. Teichert, Vice President Arla A. Alba, Governor of Wisconsin George Kosein. This is a paid advertisement authorized and paid for by Wisconsin campaign committees. Social Labor Party.
I guess you'll be happy when this election is over.
You got that right, comrade.
Mr. and Mrs. Francis Emerson of Hewitt Avenue in Superior have been notified by the War Department that their son has been wounded in action. Private Alan Emerson was wounded in fighting October the 8th in Germany. Staff Sergeant Harold F. Anderson of Superior was wounded in fighting last month in France. His parents, Mr. and Mrs. Thomas Anderson of Grand Avenue, were told the news today. Sergeant Anderson has been overseas for just 6 months, taking part in the invasion of Normandy. Superior City Clerk Emmett McKeag is urging housewives to vote early and avoid the last-minute rush of war workers tomorrow. Thousands of shipyard workers are expected to go to the polls after their shifts in the evening. Surprisingly, all Ashland County office holders are unopposed in tomorrow's election. That includes Sheriff Frank Harris, Assemblyman John Chappell, and Coroner George Wortman. They are all on the Republican ticket. Taverns will be closed tomorrow in Superior, at least until the polls close at 8 o'clock. Superior Police Chief Art Buchanan says the sale of liquor is forbidden while people vote. The postman will make his rounds tomorrow, but all banks and most government offices will be off duty. And finally, Jack, Corporal Pat McGillis sent a special gift home to his sisters, Donna and Bernice, today. He sent them a Japanese flag. Marine Corporal McGillis has been in the Southwest Pacific for 2 years, fighting in the battles of Tarawa and Saipan. That's where he captured the Jap flag in June. Corporal McGillis operates a bazooka in anti-tank warfare and was awarded a Purple Heart by Admiral Nimitz after being wounded in Tarawa.
So what do a couple of teenage girls do with a Jap flag?
Well, that's the best part. It's now hanging on the north wall of the corridor of Cathedral High School. I don't think its makers would be too happy that it ended up as a souvenir in a Yank high school.
That's the point. Thanks, Lou Martin, who always wanted to have his own bazooka. Let's check our weather for this Monday, November 6, 1944. Occasional rain tonight and tomorrow, but it doesn't look like it'll change to snow tonight, thank goodness. The low will be around 35, with a high tomorrow at 45 degrees. Now let's kick things off with this great number featuring Marion Hutton with the Glenn Miller Orchestra, of course. Here's A Tisket-a-Tasket on the Martin and McKenna Show. Glenn Miller and his orchestra, and Marion Hutton from 1941, A Tisket, A Tasket, A Green and Yellow Basket, on station KUWS. Globe Shipyards in Superior is building ships for the war day and night. They urgently need your help. They are looking for welders, pipe fitters, electricians, burners, chippers, grinders, shipwrights, clerks, sheet metal workers, but no anchors who read news. They don't need those, Lou. If you are already in essential war jobs, do not apply. But otherwise, Globe has 58-hour work weeks, paying time and a half after 8 hours a day, and the sixth shift in a week. Apply at the War Manpower Commission at 1007 Tower Avenue.
I've got this news on the road to Berlin, Jack. It's getting shorter. It's now just 301 miles, that's all, to the Western Front. 340 miles on the Eastern Front from north of Warsaw, and 557 miles to the Southern Front from Bologna.
Let's celebrate that bit of great news with the old maestro himself, Ben Burning All the Lads, and his orchestra with This Is the Army, Mr. Jones, on the Martin and McKenna Show.
A bunch of frightened rookies were listening filled with awe. They listened while a sergeant was laying down the law. They stood there at attention, their faces turning red. The sergeant looked them over, and this is what he said. This is the Army, Mr. Jones. No private rooms or telephones.
Yous had your breakfast in bed before, but yous won't have it there anymore. This is the Army, Mr. Green. We like our barracks nice and clean. You had a housemaid to clean your floor, but she won't help you out anymore. Do what the buglers command. They're in the Army and not in a band. This is the Army, Mr. Brown. You and your baby went to town. She had you worried, but this is war, and she won't worry you anymore.
Oh, yeah. Ben Burney and all the lads, and this is the Army, Mr. Jones, on Station KUWS. And now, the great debate over who will be the next Douglas County District Attorney. Good luck, Lou.
I don't need luck, Jack. It's simply a debate between two professionals, respectable people.
But they're politicians seeking election. A bad combination.
Let me introduce Mrs. Edna Prink, speaking on behalf of candidate Andy Borg and District Attorney Thomas Foley.
Good evening, Mr. Martin.
Mr. Martin?
We've laid out the rules of this debate, and each candidate has agreed to these rules.
Oh, that didn't work last time.
This time, we have signed papers agreeing to take turns, wait for the moderator to call on them, and display decorum.
Like I said, good luck with that.
Are we all agreed, then?
Of course.
All I can say is there better not be any funny business. I won't put up with it.
Put up with what? At least I'm here. People won't be voting for a boogeyman hiding behind the uniform as a member of our armed forces.
Hiding behind the uniform? Andy Borg volunteered for the service of our country, Mr. Thomas Foley. I told you, Mr. Martin, I told you it's monkey shines. That's all our district attorney is up to, monkey shines.
But you call that monkey shines? I call it falderal. That a man who isn't even in Douglas County is running for an office he can't even serve. Pure falderal.
But
I'll hear none of your shenanigans, Mr. Foley. Andy Borg was born and raised in Superior and graduated from Superior State Teachers College. He is the president of the Superior Servicemen Center. He is thoroughly acquainted with Douglas County's problem.
Problem is he's not here. He's in the Pacific. He has been since spring.
But
this is all tomfoolery. If my nominal opponent is elected...
His name is Andy Borg. Andy Borg. Vote for Andy Borg.
Are you finished?
Say.
What kind of mischief is this? Even if he is elected, someone would have to be appointed. Tomfoolery, I say.
Such naughtiness. Andy Borg is competent, conscientious, and in favor of clean government.
People of Douglas County, would you buy a pig in a poke?
Say.
Vote for me, Tom Foley of the Progressive Party. Thank you.
Don't buy into that mischief. Vote for Andy Borg, Lieutenant Andy Borg. Thank you.
Well, I think we better get going. We've got to do this again at WDSM in 15 minutes.
Oh, goodness. Let's just take my car. It'll save some gas.
See you, Lou.
Bye-bye now.
But
I have to say, that was one of the smoothest debates you've ever moderated.
But,
On with the music, friends. Here's a good one from Harry James and Kitty Callan on the 1944 Hit Parade, and I'm beginning to see the light on the Martin and McKenna Show.
Say, but,
I never cared much for moonlit skies, I never winked back at fireflies. But now that the stars are in your eyes, I'm beginning to see the light. I never went in for afterglow or candlelight on the mistletoe. But now when you turn the lamp down low, I'm beginning to see the light. Used to ramble through the park, shadow bustling in the dark. Then you came and caused a spark, that's a four-alarm fire now. I never made love by lantern shine. I never saw rainbows in my wine. But now that your lips are burning mine, I'm beginning to see the light.
Harry James and his orchestra with Pretty Kitty Callan. And I'm beginning to see the light on station KUWS. Well, hi, Ray.
Hi, Jake. Hey, what's with Lou? You know, he's thinking real hard. He's back at his desk. And all he's saying is, but.
I haven't the faintest idea. Now, rapid Ray Paulson, though, with the sporting news.
Thank you, Jake. The Bears of Chi-Town upset the undefeated Packers of Green Bay. How could it be an upset by the world champ Bears, you say, sport fans? Well, the Bears suffered the loss of many of their stars this year, while Curly Lambeau's Packers are without a defeat. But those tables turned yesterday in Chicago. Bears master passer Ensign Sid Luckman was on shore leave from his ship, and that sunk the Meat Packers. A pair of passes and a sneak up center, and Luckman was in with the game's first touchdown. The score stayed 7-0 until the third period, when within 3 minutes, Luckman tossed touchdown passes to Ray McLean and George Wilson. Final score, Bears 21, Pack 0. It was the first time the Packers' brilliant end and pass receiver Don Hutson was held scoreless in 41 games. Hey, fans, you can't win them all. But I have to tell you, friends, I saw something this weekend I will never forget, not as long as I live. Evening Telegram sports writer Bill Stewart, Chan Hall, and me set out early Sunday morning in the pre-dawn chill to look for ducks. Boy, oh boy, did we find them. It's safe to say the northern ducks have arrived in upper Wisconsin. We saw the vanguard of that flight, folks, thousands of them, going a mile a minute. I still get a thrill thinking about it. It was the kind of sight you hear veteran duck hunters tell about. And then after they've raved on at length, you think they're kind of spreading it on for you. But once you've seen what we saw, you realize it is pretty hard to go overboard when you see the sky is literally black with ducks. And that's the truth, folks. This is Rapid Ray Paulson reminding you that everyone loves a good sport.
And you tell no lies.
No lies.
No tall tales.
Only the straight gospel truth.
Thanks, Ray.
Hallelujah.
Let's play this one from Sammy Kay and his swing and sway music. This is the Tennessee Waltz on the Martin and McKenna Show.
The sky was black with ducks.
It blocked out the sun.
I was dancing with my darling to the Tennessee Waltz, when an old friend I happened to see. I introduced him to my loved one, and while they were waltzing, my friend stole my sweetheart from I lost my little darling the night they were playing the beautiful Tennessee Waltz.
Samuel Kaye and his hit, The Tennessee Waltz, by request from Edna and Tom on station KUWS. Hey, Lou, who do you think won the debate?
I really don't care.
It was a tie, but the tiebreaker goes to Foley.
What rule book of debating did you come up with that conclusion?
Simple. The one who has the most neat words wins. I counted four each. Well, let's see now. Edna Frank had funny business, naughtiness, shenanigans, and my favorite one that put her in the lead for most of the debate was monkey shines. But Foley's good. He also had four neat words, but they were all high quality. I mean, boogeyman, pig in a poke, tomfoolery. It was all good. But he clinched it with my favorite, falderall.
I'm going to go home now. I'm glad the electioneering is over. I'm going to soak my head or feet or something.
Ah, that's the spirit, Lou. Relax. And friends, remember to have your kids tune in tomorrow afternoon for Terry and the Pirates, Little Orphan Annie, Uncle Don, Cowboy Tom Mix, and Jack Armstrong, the All-American Boy. We'll be back same time, same place on your radio dial. The good Lord willing, that is, and Lou doesn't have to put up with any more falderall. For Lou Martin, then, this is Jack McKenna reminding you that war bonds mean freedom.
You've been listening to Radio Superior 1944, an original weekly production by KUWS Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio. Radio Superior is produced and written by Mike Simonson. Other performances by John Munson. All events reported on Radio Superior 1944 are actual accounts from the editions of the Superior Evening Telegram. Join us next week at this time for more Radio Superior. This is your announcer, Tony Jasmine, speaking. Good night.